Queensland in the Bowen Basin last year, actually, there was a large dragline operator, you know, on the mining site who had a heart attack. And the man leant on the slew, because once he passed out, he's leant on one of the levers. And now you've got a huge machine spinning around out of control that weighs, you know, 600 tonne more, and they couldn't stop it. That poor man, worse luck, he died as a tragic result of not being able to stop the machine.
So to stop the machine, they would have had to get to the machine, but the machine's
moving. That's correct.
Every year around Australia, thousands of employees are injured on work sites, and unfortunately, many die. And the cost to the economy is in the billions of dollars. But as we'll see in this episode, there are some things we can do about it. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. In this episode, workplace safety. So, what can we do about safety on job sites? Some companies are developing technology that could reduce injuries at work before an employee has even set foot on the worksite. Doug Bester from Sentient Computing uses virtual reality to create immersive virtual worlds that employees can enter to understand the dangers of a worksite. And it teaches them how to best handle dangerous situations that could arise on the job, all without even leaving the office.
If you're going to a platform, an oil platform, we can actually put you on the platform in virtual reality. And there's a massive value in that, because you can really get a good idea of what work you're going to be doing, what the environment's like, you know, and all of that sort of stuff, which you've never been able to do before.
Yeah, so tell me that. So before you've even set foot on the oil platform, you can learn what your job might be like?
Absolutely. So on a platform or on a mine site, both of which are remote and very expensive to put people there, we can create the virtual environment using a game engine. So it's just like Call of Duty or PUBG or one of those games. But you're in there and you're looking at the actual asset. You're looking at how it works. You can simulate tasks. So if we've got to go to site and surface a pump, we can go and do that in a virtual world before we even get on the aeroplane or the helicopter and go out to the site.
One of the advantages of this technology stems from the way our brains work. We're more inclined to remember something when we've actually seen it firsthand, rather than just reading about it in a book. Or, put more bluntly,
if you chop someone's hands off in a game and they see their hands bleeding, it tends to stick with them a bit more than reading a line about, you know, be careful, wear gloves. But if you do something and you actually live a virtual consequence, it's got much better chance of it remaining in your consciousness when you get to sight.
So you can actually sort of recreate possible scenarios using the virtual reality, can you?
Yes, and you can create scenarios that don't actually happen every day. So if I take you to a site, 99% of the time it's going to work fine. So you have no idea what could go wrong. But in a virtual world, I can throw all these different scenarios at you so that you can understand, oh, okay, if smoke starts coming out of here, this is what you do. Whereas in reality, that only happens very, very seldom. So you can train people and you can get people to be aware of what steps to take in the case of sort of black swan or unusual events.
The best people to build these virtual reality worlds are gamers who are familiar with VR and love programming it. And employing them has resulted in some pleasantly unexpected side effects.
One of the projects we did for an induction module where people had to go, and was the first time we'd actually developed a game. I was really concerned about the older people taking too long to do it. They wanted it to be finished in sort of 20 to 25 minutes, because that we figured was the right time. So we were able to find the date of birth of people and how long they took every time they did it. And when we got the results, the older people were doing fine. They were doing it in 20 minutes. But there was this age group of about 23 to sort of 28 that were taking hours, which I didn't understand.
Really?
So, yeah. So then I eventually managed to find one of these younger guys who I knew, and I sort of sat him down and said, look, why are you spending so long in this induction module? It's not that difficult. And he said, oh, yeah, but there's an Easter egg.
like a hidden sort of thing to find in the game.
Yeah, in all games there's these Easter eggs. So one of our developers had put a thing called a shuffling robot under a hedge somewhere, which I didn't know about. And I went to the company and said, look, I'm really sorry, there's this Easter egg and what's happening is that they're spending a lot of time, we'll get rid of it. And they said, no, it's great, because the guys get there, they've spent 2 hours of Perth time, which is much cheaper than on-site time. And by the end of it, they really know every single nook and cranny of that site because they've been running around looking for the Easter egg.
And what are some of the other uses of this technology? Could two employees use the platform at the same time?
So let's say, for example, you and I, Graham, are going to go and do some work on an oil rig. What we could do, and let's say, for example, you're in Melbourne and I'm in Perth and we're going to be working on a pump. I could put on my headset in Perth and you could put your headset on in Melbourne, and then we would connect up and I would see a little avatar of you on the oil rig.
And we'd be able to navigate through the oil rig. I'd be able to talk to you like I am now, and I'd be able to point to things, and we'd be able to walk through and discuss, okay, this is what we're going to be doing. This is going to go there. We can need to get a permit from this office. This is where the spare parts will go. These are the tools we need.
So we'd be able to sort of rehearse that entire project all over the world. Then there's other modules we've got where you put the Working Heights one, you put on the headset and then you're instantly transported into a place of height, and there's a guy doing some work and you have to identify what he's doing wrong. And if you don't identify it, then there's a consequence. He either falls off and kills himself on the bottom, or he does something like that.
Let's say you think VR is the way to go for your company. Here are some things you need to think about before signing up.
There are a lot of VR companies out there that can do this sort of stuff. I think probably the most important thing is, if you decide to do a VR project, decide on your budget up front, because then whatever company's developing the content for you has some idea of what your spend is.
Okay, let your imagination run wild. You know, in the next sort of 10, 15, 20 years, what excites you?
In the last couple of years, a lot of the technology we're using is not new. A lot of the technology is actually here. It's the mindset and the willingness for companies to be able to adapt the sort of technology that I think has changed the most. The tech can be as good as you like, but if companies aren't going to allow mobile devices on their sites, you're not going to be able to leverage the mobile device. You actually have to be able to use the technology. I think drones are going to be a huge one. They're going to get smaller, better, quicker. I think the combination of phones and VR and the whole basic infrastructure will make a big difference in the future. It's going to be really exciting, actually.
So that's how virtual reality can help employees on work sites before they go on site. But what about once they're there? Is there another new way to reduce injuries and fatalities? Mike Thompson at Thompson Security has developed eStop, and it could be just the thing to make your workplace safer. So what is eStop?
An emergency stop, Graham. It's, you see on some big machines, or most big machines, if you see if there's a big red button, that if you're in an emergency, you run up and push the button to help somebody out if they're in trouble or to stop the machine.
I mean, it seems like such a simple idea of having this wireless remote switch, and yet it's amazing that it's only taken till now to happen, kind of thing.
Yeah, look, over the years, I've spent a lot of time in heavy machinery and in mining industries and all that sort of stuff, and the idea came because I was, and this is a true story, a fellow I was working with, his son is an engineer on a site in Christchurch over in New Zealand, and he was on a building site and he was in charge of it. And they had an area all blocked off with safety people watching and all that sort of stuff. And anyway, there was a bobcat down the bottom doing his job, loading the, like builder's rubble into the truck parked in the driveway. They had all the safety cones and everything up, and an elderly woman, in the late 80s, by mistake, disorientated, walked into the zone where she shouldn't have been. People could see it happening. They tried to get in contact and tried to get the bobcat operator, but they failed. And look, it's very sad, but the lady was run over, and yes, she was killed. Now, in that incident, I was standing there beside him when his son rang up from New Zealand crying because of what happened, so upset about it, being there at the time, and then realised, if we had a wireless emergency stop, we could stop this happening and stop it much faster.
One of the reasons Mike developed eStop is because of the exclusion zone. It's a region around dangerous equipment, say, which no one can enter so as to keep workers safe. But the irony is, the exclusion zone can do the opposite. A worker in trouble inside it, for instance, is unable to be helped by fellow workers who can't enter it That's where E-Stop comes in.
In civil construction and also in mining, there is what they call a safety exclusion zone. Now, if that machine's not considered what they say fundamentally stable, so in other words, it's parked up with the brake on, turned off, all that sort of stuff, technically you're not allowed to go near the machine. So if you have someone who's had a medical incident and they're in distress or they've gotten caught or hurt on the machine, technically, if that machine's not shut down, you can't go to that machine and turn it off. So the idea of the wireless emergency stop is that you can actually turn that machine off and shut it down from a safe distance outside that safety exclusion zone.
So how does the tech work?
Basically, there's a receiver in a fire-resistant enclosure that's put onto the machine. It then works with a key fob that's not much different, but obviously very robust and strong, that you open and close your car or you open and close your garage door at home. That's how small it is. It has a battery life of 2 years under normal operation, and the system that we're using is quite a special one. The little transmitter is putting out 5 signals, not one, like your garage door remote, and the receiver's looking for 5 signals, and therefore it can't be jammed, and it's got over 17 billion rolling encrypted codes. So it's basically nobody can copy it, you know. It's people's lives that are at stake. That's why it was made. It's really made to save lives, and that's what it's for.
Being safe on site is one of the most important things when it comes to the health and well-being of Aussie workers. And technology like VR training and wireless emergency stop systems could just prevent injuries and save lives. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. On the next episode of Leading Ideas, the Internet of Power Tools. Talk to you then.
The views expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Ford Motor Company Australia Limited.